Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 39, March 13th, 2012. Meet Jacob, the 14-year-old whiz kid. Ham Nation is on the air, and it's a special day. It is very close to St. Patrick's Day, and this is Bob Heil, K9EID. I have on my green shirt. I had our custom shop build me a special green microphone for tonight, and look what we got from Costa Mesa. Hello, Gordon.
Hey, hi there, Bob. Well, we're in green as well, and we just wish everybody, including the chat room, a big hello, and those live and those listening to us, hi from Costa Mesa, and we've got a very special broadcast coming up. Back to you, Bob.
Yes, well, we've been waiting for this for a while, getting it all together, and let's make sure everything's okay north of here. Cheryl, are you all set to go tonight watching the chat room?
I sure am. Welcome to Ham Nation, everybody. My name is Cheryl S. at K9BIK. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the chat room as well. We're happy to see you in there, and it is a wonderful thing coming up for St. Patrick's Day, which we're all excited about. So I am also wearing green today. Back over to you, Bob.
All right. Well, George is going to be here later. He's going to build that box for your den plug so that we can plug all of our mixers and stuff into the back of our radio. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, and I tell you, the response has been remarkable. I'm really, really glad we're able to help everybody. So we're gonna get down and see what's going on in Mississippi in a while. But before we do that and switch out to Denver and see what Amanda's got going, we're going to go over to the middle of Missouri, and we're going to talk to W0EEE station. However, it has a different guest operator tonight. And Gordon, you and I have been talking about this chap since I met him at a ham fest, and I want you to meet Jacob, KD0NVX. And I think you got a little message for Jacob. So why don't you take it, Gordo, and you and Jacob take off and see what we can get done from W0EEE.
Okay. Well, thanks, Bob. And Jacob, welcome to Ham Nation. And we'll put you on in just a minute. But here at Ham Nation, we always like to inaugurate new kids into ham radio with a little bit of CW. So we're going to turn up the audio to our radio a little bit here. Nice, quiet frequency. So let me first go to you, Jacob, and say hi to everybody. Give your call sign and let us know whether you're ready to copy a little bit of CW. Go ahead, Jacob. Over to you.
Well, hello, Ham Nation. This is KD0NVX, and I'm very glad to be on the show today, and I love CW. I do work a lot of CW on 10 meters and plan to get my general and do CW on HF as well. But I do enjoy CW and the various aspects of it, the different instruments to produce CW, whether it be bugs, paddles, straight keys. It's an art that's been trained, and it's been the primary form of communication in ham radio since the 50s. So.
Oh, that is terrific, Jacob. Well, let me do a little bit of CW, and I'm not the very fastest CW operator, so here we go. I'll start off with a series of V's. This will be just four words. All right, here we go. First word. Second word. And the third word. And here we go, last word. And, of course, the period. All right, Jacob, how about a read back?
Ham radio is fun, period.
You have that absolutely correct. Well, Jacob, what's your best part of ham radio in addition to CW on 10 meters? How about giving us a little tour of all the fun you've had in ham radio? Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, at the National Weather Service in St. Louis, they had a open house, and I went there and saw the St. Louis Amateur Radio Club, SLSRC, I believe, and I talked to some Boy Scouts on the on-the-air jamboree, and then I got hooked, and I took a class in Washington, Missouri, and got my license, and then I've done a lot of things in amateur radio. I've participated in some field activities, and I did the Whiskey Zero Whiskey Missouri QSO party, and I'm the secretary of my local amateur radio club. So,
wow, that's really something. Now, tell us about your shack. Now, first of all, tell us the shack that you're at today, and then your shack at home. Go ahead.
I am at W0EEE right now, the club of the Missouri University of Science and Technology, and they've got a plethora of old radio equipment, as you've seen on the previous Amateur Radio Nation episodes. They have anything from old military receivers and transceivers and transmitters to newer equipment like Kenwoods and ICOMs and everything else.
Wow, that really is great. Now, what do you have at your own shack, Jacob?
I run a Kenwood TS-480 SAT and some other equipment. I have a Kenwood TS-241, I believe. It's a it's Kenwood's new 2-meter transceiver. Some Yaesu equipment, and I actually think it's the 281 now that I recall. But I have a whole bunch of little tube equipment. I have a tube tester that I use to play around with tubes because, you know, anything that is a good ham radio is has to have tubes. And I have a lot of other equipment, but those are my main radios that I do use.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, Jacob, now the big question of the day is, what can we as ham radio operators do to get more kids like you involved in our hobby? What would you say the best thing that we can do to get more kids into ham radio?
Well, I've got two radio. Since I've become an amateur radio operator, I have had kids that I've had get their licenses. One was KD2 Alpha Echo Bravo, and another one was KK4 DWP in Florida. And both of them, KK4 DWP, he's kind of shy behind the mic, and he likes digital modes. And I believe that it's crucial to getting kids into amateur radio to find their little niche in the hobby, because there's so many different options to do, not just voice or CW. There's digital modes, and my friend KD2AEB, he likes listening. He doesn't really talk on the radio, but he got his license so that he can talk when, you know, he's bored of listening.
Oh, that is terrific. Well, great. Well, let me see what Bob may have to ask for you, because Bob has told me all about your accomplishments, Jacob, and we're just delighted to have you with us. So, Bob, over to you, and I'll let you finish off the interview with one of our youngest hams on the show yet.
Jacob and I met when I went to the Winterfest last weekend of January near St. Louis, and I was just overwhelmed with what he knew about amateur radio at such a young age. And then I asked him if his parents were licensed, and no, they aren't. And I wondered, have you made this happen yet? Are you working on them? I know you were talking about it. Did that come to fruition yet, Jacob?
Well, I am trying to get my father to get his ham radio license. I've got a tech instruction book and some other tech books, and he's been kind of busy lately, but I know that he will get his ham radio license, and I'm trying to get him to get it. And my mother does not have her ham radio license because she just doesn't have a particular interest with it. But my brothers and there's a lot of different people as well that I'm trying to get their amateur radio licenses. And sometimes there's just not a place for it, and I can't really understand that, but there's so many different places that you can find to stay in ham radio.
Well, Jacob, since that didn't work with your parents, I understand you went on to the next generation. And is it true, your grandfather, you got him to get his license?
At the National Weather Service, when we went to the open house, we both talked to Boy Scouts in Florida, and we both decided to take our classes. I really wanted to take the ham radio class, and he was going to take me and let me do it by myself. But I eventually convinced him to do the class, and he did do the class, and we both got our licenses together in the same class.
Oh, that's really super. And I know that you're very active in your church running the sound system. And I guess whenever they have anything at the school happen, you're the guy because you got a soldering iron and you can fix it. Is that right?
With the school stuff, primarily what happens is software issues. Like they have the smart boards where they're color, they use it to, it's a virtual whiteboard and all that. And that's the primary issues that they do have. But I don't usually have to bring a soldering iron out, but when I do, I'll be ready.
Oh, that's great. That
pretty
is
cool,
great.
Huh, Gordo?
Well, yeah, we need him over here.
Yeah, great. You and Julian can put him to work. I know how that goes. And you're very close with the guys at W0EEE. And I wondered, have you worked any contests with them? Are you looking forward to getting involved with some of that?
I haven't done much here at W0EEE. I did donate some vintage amateur radio equipment to them a while ago. But I have not done any contests, but I look forward to doing that in the future.
Well, we will look forward to the day that you get on and become one of their high-speed operators, because I know that's around the corner. And we're just thrilled that you're able to communicate the passion of amateur radio that you have to your friends and the world, because a lot of people think ham radio is for a bunch of old characters. Well, there are a bunch of us old characters, but there's a lot of young people that's very involved, and I really applaud you for grabbing it by the horns and making it happen. That's really wonderful. And we'll be staying in touch with you, because we want to follow your ham radio career, and you keep us in mind. If anything special happens, we want to know about that and bring the news to everybody here on Ham Nation each week. And I wish you all the best. And I have one question: who's driving tonight? Is it your grandfather or your grandmother?
My grandfather is unfortunately ill tonight, so he could not be here. But my grandmother was the person who drove me to W0EEE today.
I bet that's who we see in the background, huh?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for bringing him all the way up to Rolla, Missouri, so he could join Sterling. And I guess Sterling's in the background listening on 40 meters. We'll try to see if we can work him on the net afterwards, W0EEE. Sterling, thanks a lot for setting all this up, and we're going to have you you guys back on real soon from the station. Gordo, you got anything else we need to clarify and ask Jacob before he gets out?
Well, no, we just have to send him 7-3, Jacob, and see you. See you down the log, Jacob.
I'm not going to fish my call sign, but...
All right. That's great. All right. Well, thanks, Jacob. One of our youngest hams on Ham Nation for a long time. And Jacob, are you going to do the Dayton Ham Radio Convention so we can see you there?
Yes, I will be going to Dayton this year. Hopefully.
All right. Well, be sure and stop by the Ham Nation booth, and let's meet up, and we'll say hi to you at Dayton. Okay, Bob, over to you, and Jacob, thanks again for joining us on Ham Nation. Bob?
Yeah, we're going to be able to schedule some time with him in the booth. It's going to be fun. Thanks very much for your time, and thanks for your commitment to amateur radio. We need more of your friends on here, and thanks again to your grandmother for driving you and making sure this could happen. So 7-3 to you, and we'll talk to you real soon. What a great guy. I mean, this is amazing. He's 14 years old. I'm just overwhelmed at what he's accomplished, and he hasn't had a whole lot of. He's done this on his own, so I think that has a lot to say about amateur radio, Gordon. That it doesn't take a lot to get into it and keep the interest high. You just have to want to do it, right?
And that's it. And he's going to go so far because with his radio interest, getting into computers and being able to solve some of the church's software problems, he's going to fit in well.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch his progress. Cheryl, how did you like that one? Wasn't he something? That was great. I hope the chat room is happy with us bringing a 14-year-old whiz kid on here.
We just lost Cheryl. We're trying to get her back on right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Before we get too far along tonight, I want to bring Newsline on. Don Wilbanks has got some real special news tonight from Newsline. So let's switch over and see what Don's got for us with Newsline.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1804, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Tuesday, March 13th, 2012. As was announced here on Ham Nation last week, the Dayton Hamvention Awards Committee has gone worldwide in choosing who would receive Hamvention's 2012 honors. Named as Radio Amateur of the Year, Mr. S. Suri, VU2MY of Hyderabad, India. Mr. Suri can be described as the Hiram Percy Maxim of his nation. Among his numerous achievements, VU2MY was instrumental in establishing the art and science of amateur radio in India, as well as leading the effort to establish the world-acclaimed National Institute of Amateur Radio. Technical Achievement Award recipient Joel Hallis, W1ZR of Westport, Connecticut, is likely best known for his monthly QSD column titled The Doctor Is In. This ongoing series is designed to answer many of the basic and not-so-basic technical questions of ham radio that readers may have on their minds. This year's Special Achievement Award recipient is Stephen Betza, WZ2V of Endicott, New York. According to the awards committee, Betza enjoys teaching students by using live experiments and missions. Through a project called Blue Horizon, WZ2V has already licensed 38 new hams, set the world record for the highest amateur balloon at 125,000 feet, and demonstrated many technical feats related to that record-breaking flight. The annual Club of the Year award goes to Germany's Deutsche Amateur Radio Club. Congratulations to all the deserving honorees. The largest solar flare in 5 years began racing toward Earth Wednesday, March 7th, threatening to unleash a torrent of charged particles that could disrupt communications worldwide. This latest solar storm comes on the heels of an earlier and weaker solar eruption that happened Sunday, March 4th. For updates on this and other solar flare-ups, please keep your eye on spaceweather.com. Effective Monday, March 5th, United States radio amateurs were granted new operating privileges on the 60-meter band. In addition to an increase in effective radiated power from 50 to 100 watts, hams can now transmit CW and PSK. More information on what modes can be used on what frequencies is online at the ARRL website. Trained ham radio communicators are needed in Clark County, Indiana, following tornadoes that devastated the area March 2nd. In a posting to the Indiana Ham Remailer picked up on QRZ.com, Jeff Brady, N9WSV, who is the Assistant Emergency Coordinator for Clark County, Indiana, says that more operators are needed to assist in recovery efforts. Brady says they could use additional operators to man various posts, even if it's only for a few hours a day. But don't just show up on site. Rather, if you can assist, first contact N9WSV by phone. His number is 502-777-7304. Or you can email n9wsv at arrl.net. If you're in the area, he's monitoring the 14694 repeater, which requires a 67 hertz subaudible access tone. N9wsv adds that the local team of ham radio operators have put in many hours, and any relief is greatly appreciated. Finally, a reminder that the nominating period for the 2012 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. Full details and a downloadable nominating form are on our website at arnewsline.org/YHOTY.
It's doing it.
And some breaking news. There appears to be a rather large cloud of thick, acrid smoke causing lots of problems with visibility and breathing in the Jackson, Mississippi area. Wait, I'm being handed an update. It appears that it's just the candles on the birthday cake for George Thomas, W5JDX. So, it's okay, I guess. Happy birthday, George. That's all from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for nearly 35 years, in spite of the smoke, at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. Happy birthday, George. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, happy birthday, George. We'll have to get into that in a while when we find out what's going on in Mississippi. What's going on in the chat room, Cheryl? Everybody everybody okay there finally after all the problems on the net tonight?
We just lost her just as you said that.
Again. Oh, no.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to switch over and talk to Amanda and see. I bet you she's got some green on. What's happening in Denver?
Well, south of Denver, but beautiful weather here. As you can see, I'm getting a red face. I've got some sun today from work, so I'm excited about the springtime. Yippee. Anyhow, if I don't do this, you guys, I've forgotten the last four times I've been on the show. Hi, Mom and Dad. I love you. I have felt so bad about not doing that, you guys. Oh, boy,
yes.
I'm terrible.
You have to take care of your parents because they take care of you all these years. So there you go. That's great. Hi, Mom, and hi, Dad from Illinois. Oh, goodness. What kind of tales have you discovered this week? I know you had a whole bunch of them. What'd you pick out for us?
Oh, boy. This week was rough. No, by the way, happy birthday, George.
Oh.
And let's see. I have one. And this guy, he's such a nice guy. He sent this story the first week that we came on about ham tales. And he has no idea that this was going to be for the luckiest deal here. So anyhow, I'll tell you guys all about it. And if any of you guys are watching in Jacksonville, Texas, you know all about your annual tomato fest. So you guys already know about this, but this is about flying tomatoes. So shortly after getting my ticket, the Cherokee County Amateur Radio Club decided to take part in the annual tomato fest here in Jacksonville, Texas. As part of this, we set up an HF station at the Cherokee County Airport since they have a fly-in and tomato drop as part of the festival. Shortly before the tomato drop, my wife and daughter, who was only 10 at the time, decided to join me at the airport. As they prepared for the tomato drop, one of the pilots asked if anyone wanted to ride along and drop the tomatoes out of the window. Since he had no takers, he turned and begged my daughter to join him, and she finally agreed and said yes. So she never had been on a plane, much less flown in one before. So not to mention having to drop something out of the side window of the airplane was a bit intimidating for her. And well, they took off. She actually dropped some tomatoes out of the window of the plane several times, but unfortunately she missed all of the tomato targets. So unfortunately, but she made it back safe and sound and had one heck of a story to tell. And he says that he told his wife that it was like one of those credit card commercials. Technician class ticket, $12. Yaesu handheld, $300. Daughter getting to drop tomatoes out of a low-flying plane, absolutely priceless. So that has been his luckiest experience in ham radio so far. And thank you. That is from William Foreman. And his call is Kilo 5 Whiskey Charlie Foxtrot. So I thank him so much for sharing that. It's so cute. I couldn't imagine. I would not have gotten on a little plane when I was 10 years old. But with that in mind, next week, with it being spring and all coming up, I'm looking for anything green. Tell me about your greenest project, greenest operation in ham radio. I'd love to hear it. And that's at hamtales@live.com, you guys.
Hamtales@live.com. We got that. And is it going to be time we're going to start collecting antenna stories, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun. Well, thanks very much. That was fun. And I appreciate all the work that you do and keeping fun things going here. So we need everybody to pass the word and don't be shy. Let us know what's going on with you. And I know you have some tales, but you'll have to tell them to Amanda so she can tell us here. So, Amanda, we'll talk to you next week. Everything else okay there? You and Jeff are going to be on the net afterwards on 40 meters, right?
Absolutely. He's giving the thumbs up. Yes, we're going to be on. Look for me on 40, you guys. Jeff will probably check in for both of us on Echolink because I get tied up on 40. And Gordo, how about these clover leaves that are flashing for you?
We are seeing them. They are coming through loud and very clear. And Amanda, what frequency on 40 so we can turn up the volume here and begin to tune in for a clear channel. What frequency?
Oh boy, you guys, you'll have to look on a chat and I think Mike WT6H will figure it out.
Okay. All right. Well, let us know. And we're ready. We are ready. And boy, I tell you, that solar disturbance that took place all of last week, we have a 40-meter net each morning. And that net came to just about a close down because all we could hear was just plain background hash. But as you can hear tonight, the conditions on 40. Not too bad. So, yeah, we ought to have a good night. Bob, are you going to be on 40 as well? Go ahead.
Yeah, going to try to do that. I was really happy that last week I was able to talk coast to coast. It was really great. The guys from K1 land and W6 land, everybody was there at the same time. It was wonderful. And that's kind of rare. Sitting in the Midwest, you usually get the refractions. If you remember, we talked about that here before on Ham Nations, how your signal's refracted from the ionosphere. And sometimes sitting in the Midwest will be refracted to the West Coast and sometimes to the East. But, hey, we had it coast to coast. It was really great last week. So we'll try to get in and see if if Mike and I think Bill's going to be on too, and so we'll be on to try to make contact with everybody if we can, and you want to do that too. I think 7268 is where they were last week, but we'll have to see closer to the end of the show what they're finding with the conditions. And that we might want to talk about that just a little bit, Gordon. That was really strange, but it happens every once in a while where there was nothing. You switch antennas, you switch transceivers, you wonder, is something broken? There was nothing. And you saw that on the West Coast too, right?
Oh, yeah, we sure did. And what we heard was just plain old background noise. And you all know the background noise. By the way, we had a question from the chat room a couple of weeks ago saying, what's the technique in tuning stations in on single sideband? And we've seen operators that will sometimes very slowly turn the dial. And we recommend that you make big tuning steps. Now, the whistles you hear, of course, there we go.
And they come down.
And you lock it in nice and quick. If we have an operator that just slowly keeps turning, that station's going to be gone. So you got to pop them in quick. And usually they end up on an even frequency. This one's on 7222. And that's the way we do it. So tune them in quick, and then you can fine-tune as you get them homed in. But I'm very happy to say we don't have near the noise level that we had over this past week. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah, you know what was really strange about that is that the day after that or so, the bands were great. And so there we are with all these things. And that's why we love ham radio. It's kind of like fishing when you drop that old drop the old worm in there, you never know what's coming up. And that's what's so much fun about it. You come in, you turn the receiver on, and 6 meters could be open. That's up real high, almost in the television frequency. You might have 40 meters open. You might have the low frequencies, 160 meters. And it's really wonderful to come in and just play radio and see where you can go with it. And
well, you're really, really right. Yeah, really. you're right about that, Bob. All of the bands. In fact, technicians, the other day I had a technician call me up saying, well, I only have my tech license. Bob and I would go, what? You've got the tech license. You've got 10 meters, 28.3 to 28.5 for voice. And that band was hopping. How about you, Bob? Was 10 meters when the rest of the bands were down and out? Was 10 meters giving you some single and double hop as it was?
It was. That was the. That's the good part of it. You don't know what's going to happen. And technician license and all of us, we had a great time on 10 meters. So there you go. You just want to get in here and put up a decent antenna and away you go. What's this stuff about a birthday? George, happy birthday. Is this really your birthday?
Yeah, actually, March the 13th is my birthday. And thanks, everyone, for all the birthday wishes. I could see that coming when Don started up on the smoke, but I thought he was going to be talking about my soldering iron.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let me say something. Gordon, do you know who else has a birthday today? Einstein.
Let's see.
Einstein.
Is it Einstein's? Wow, George, you were born with good company, George.
Well, that sounds about right. You know, that's kind of what I figured.
Well, I wanted to do something for you. I heard about this, and I did something a little special. And so I'm going to ask Alex and Lynn to go over and push that play button for a minute. Let's see what we can do for you, George. This is just for you.
Hey, George, I hear it's a special day for you. It's your birthday. So I thought we'd fire up the big theater organ and play Happy Birthday. Here we go.
Happy birthday, George. W5JDX, a big, big happy birthday.
Thanks, Cheryl. Thanks, Bob and Gordo. I've had happy birthday sung to me before, but that takes the cake.
Well, you know, we wanted to do something special for you, so there you go. That was great, and I enjoyed doing it. And I should have told everybody to put their big speakers on so you could hear all the big pipes. Oh, golly. Hey, Cheryl, did you have some Hamfest greetings before we get back to George and find out what's going on in his smoke and solder tonight?
Absolutely. There's some wonderful Hamfests around the country here. Just wanted to say that there's one up here in Wisconsin on Sunday, March 18th. And that is at the Johnson Creek, Wisconsin. That's the city. And basically, that's your Tri-County Amateur Radio Club, W9MQB. Also, there's a 37th annual Cherryville Hamfest, and that's in Annandale, New Jersey. We've got one on the 17th, the 59th annual of Hamfest that's out in Marietta, Georgia. So there's quite a few here. Charleston, West Virginia area Hamfest, that's on the 17th as well. There's many, many different Ham Fests coming up, so please always visit those. They're a lot of fun. You can get a lot of things for your projects and see people you know. That's always the best part, really, is to interface with everybody. And there's another one here that I've got in Marshall, Minnesota, Crossroads Ham Fest 2012 on March the 17th. That's the Southern Michigan Amateur Radio Society there. And last one here that I see is the Eastern Connecticut Amateur Radio Area Ham Flea Market in Dayville, Connecticut. So there's quite a few, and please go and visit those. Back over to you. Thanks.
Wow, well, you've got a complete lineup, Cheryl. Thanks so much for that info. And by the way, those of you on the West Coast, this coming weekend, Friday night and Saturday, M Square, the antenna folks, are holding a big open house. We hope it's not going to rain too hard, nor snow up in the hills. But the M Squared get-together is always a big one each year. Brings out a lot of swappers, but it brings out those that are really interested in the latest of aluminum that Mike and Myrna and all of the kids produce over at M Squared. So we'll give a full report, maybe a little photo slideshow next week on M Squared.
Yeah, that's always fun because you get to tour through the M Squared factory and see how they build all those great antennas. So that I know is a great event. I've been there a couple of times, and I wish we could be there this year, but we're going to be out riding in a bus, in the back of a bus. Oh, well. So thanks a lot for that, Cheryl. And George, I think you've got some really cool things coming on here with your smoke and solder episode. So let's switch down to Mississippi, and we're going to learn how to do some really cool things, mainly how to hook up a mixer to your ham radio. However, you had a really cool thing with some balloons recently, so let's let you take it over, and we're going to join you in these great videos.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yeah, my friend Jim and I, you remember my friend Jim, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We got together and had a birthday party for me with a big balloon a couple of weekends ago. So, Alex, if you've got that tape ready, let's roll that and have a look.
It's March 3rd, 2012, and it's Saturday morning here in Gluckstadt, Mississippi. And I've got my friend Jim. You remember my friend Jim. Say hello.
Hello.
Jim and I are here to do a little bit of coverage of what event?
This is the Old Town Middle School Near Space Balloon Launch.
We covered this last year on Amateur Logic, and it was a great event. Last year was their first year. This is their second. So we're expecting great things this year. The weather's, we hope it's going to cooperate. It was a little sprinkle earlier, and I believe a little winds, And Jim, what are they going after this year with this launch?
Well, they're, as always, going after a lot of scientific experiments that they have on board and that they're actually working with NASA. It's a great experience for the kids because they had some success last year with capturing some high-speed particles such as neutrinos and things of this nature on unexposed photographic film. And so they'll be sending those experiments up and some other experiments this year, but they're also... And the amateur radio portion of the launch is doing worldwide HF telemetry on 20 meters. And that's something that amateur balloon launches have recently incorporated. And these guys are number 6 in the world as far as their HF telemetry and how far it's been received. And today they're hoping to break the world record and capture the number 1 spot for distance HF telemetry is reported back to them.
And wow, this is only their second year, number 6 in the first year, so that's a great start. And I'm going to leave here before they actually launch so I can go back to the shack and do a little tracking myself on this.
Bobby, why don't you tell our viewers who you are and what we're about to do?
Okay, well, I'm Bobby Robinson. I am the science director here at the Titans in Space program. I'm a science teacher at Old Town Middle School. Several of our experiments, we have a high-speed particle test for testing time to see if there's going to be a differential. We're exposing some seeds to the near space parameters of low pressure and low temperature, see if that has any difference in growth rates. We have an expansion test, and we're using several different types of marshmallows, and we're going to see if they expand. We also have batteries, and one of the things we did last year is we used some batteries, and we sent them up, and what we found is the ones that we sent up were 33%, they lasted 33% longer than the ones that stayed on the ground, so we're trying to check that and verify what we had last year.
Wow. Who's this young man you got here?
I'm Ty Sanders.
Mr. Sanders, can you turn around and show our viewers this rig you've got here? And Bobby, just man, this thing looks wild. You got all kind of, what is that, film canister sticking out the top and test tubes out the side?
Yeah, this right here is for our high-speed particles. We have a undeveloped 35-millimeter film here, and in a dark room, we also took 35-millimeter film and put it on flat sheets. And what we're trying to do is duplicate something that we did last year. Last year, we captured something that has never been seen before. We sent it off to some guys in Mississippi State, and they said, well, we're not sure what it is. They said it is a high-speed particle. They said send it to a guy in Houston who works for NASA. He said he didn't know what it was. He's never seen it before, and asked if it was a film processing error. Well, we sent our film to Kodak, and they said, no, it's not. So we captured this last year, and as you can see a blue aurora with this blazing trail, and up here when you get real close, you can see neutrinos flying off. So what we surmise is during that time, Fukushima had exploded 1 month prior to, and all that contamination and radiation was above the United States. What we're trying to do is if we look at it again this year, we don't think that we'll find anything like this, and that might lead some credence to what we believe, what we might have picked up last time. We have our cricket o-knots that are going to be exposed as well. We're trying to see if they're exposed, what happens to them. We have a control group that we're also going to put some hot hands with to make sure they're nice and warm. They've got some extra oxygen from the vegetation. And we'll just see if there's any difference in them when they come back. One of the things that we speculate is that insects are very durable, and we think that they'll actually survive. So we're just checking. It's one of the things that we wanted to check.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Why don't you tell folks out there who you are?
My name is Bill Richardson. I am a teacher at Old Town Middle School, and I'm also the Radio and Technology Club sponsor for our school. We do ham radio, balloons, robots, and all sorts of things.
And tell them why we're here today.
Well, we're sending our second balloon up to near space, and we're hoping to send science experiments up. We're trying to reach about 90,000 feet or more.
Good morning, Shane. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Good to be here.
Hey, why don't you tell our viewers who you are?
Okay, hi. My name's Shane Wilson. My call sign's N4XWC, November 4 X-ray Whiskey Charlie, and I'm over here from Birmingham, Alabama. The part of this I like to do is the chase and the recovery. What this is actually a worldwide transmitter. People from Europe have a real good chance of being able to hear the signal. It has a small GPS receiver in here, sends the GPS data over to the radio, and the radio, and that's the batteries, and this sends out a signal on a shortwave frequency. It's called 20 meters. It has two long antennas, one here and one here, that go several feet either direction, and people will be able to hear this potentially all over the world.
And the balloon is off. In the meantime, I'd gone back to the ham shack so I could track the balloon. I didn't know it had lifted off for sure yet. All right, there we go. I believe that should have been KC5NXD, and that's 742 feet. So it has launched. For more coverage of the science experiments, radio equipment, pre-launch setup, balloon launch, tracking, pictures from near space, and recovery of the balloon, tune in to next week's AmateurLogic.tv.
Well, that was a lot of fun, Bob and Gordo, and we've got more of that on AmateurLogic.tv. There was just too much footage to have here tonight on Ham Nation, so everyone go tune that in. It'll probably be available on Friday. I think we'll have it posted by then, but what a lot of fun, and what a great educational tool.
Oh, that is great, George. And George, I loved your green jacket. So I went out and I got one myself. That jacket we saw in the video, that is classic.
Those are always wonderful events with the balloons. And there's a lot of those go on, and we just can't cover all of them. But I know that they're really a great learning curve for some of the guys, too. So thanks for covering that, George. That was great.
Oh, you're welcome, Bob. And on Smoke and Solder this week, you and I talked a little earlier in the week. I had initially planned to show what I was going to use that Dremel tool table saw. We'll have to wait for next week on that, because we thought it would be important to build a little breakout box that you had last week and show everyone how that's wired up. So I've got a little video here on that, if we could take a look at it. Last week on Ham Nation, Bob introduced us to a breakout box, which is a convenient way to get audio in and out of your ham rig. We thought this week we would continue and show you how to actually build the breakout box. Most rigs have DIN connectors on the rear that are used for connecting external equipment. This DIN connector here is a 7-pin, and you'll notice that it has holes in each pin so that you can tin your wire, slip it down in there, and then solder it. Now, you need to be aware that just because it's a 7-pin does not mean it will fit your rig. There are different configurations of these connectors, and you might have the same number of pins, but they could be lined out differently on the connector. So be aware of that when choosing the right connector for your rig. Now, some connectors, like this 13-pin, have so many pins and they're so small that there's not room to put a hole in the top. In this case, you'll have to put a little bead of solder on top of these pins and then solder your wire to it. You can reach this with the soldering iron. I've already done this connector, but I wanted to show you that it is possible. You just get the finest tip that you can find, and it will fit right in there on top of the connector pin. Now, it's best to do the wires that are in the center of the connector first and then work your way toward the outside. You'll also notice that I put heat shrink tubing over these wires, and that's because when you heat the wire, it'll often cause the insulation to shrink back. So I used the heat shrink so that after I had soldered the wires down, I could pull the heat shrink over the exposed wire and then not have naked wires hanging out loose in the connector to short out. If you purchase a new ICOM rig, it will come with a pigtail already soldered to the 13-pin DIN connector. You can look in the manual and you'll find the color code for these wires to translate it to pin numbers, and this will help you get going a lot quicker. Today we're going to build a breakout box for the ICOM IC7000, so we look in the manual and we find a 13-pin DIN accessory connector. Pin 2 is ground. Pin 11 is the modulator input where we would feed audio from our mixer into the rig. And pin 12 is the AF detector output that we would feed to an amplifier to a speaker. Now, ground is pin 2, and if we look at the table, that's going to be red. Not sure why they chose red for a ground. The modulator input is pin 11, and that's the pink wire. The detector output is pin 12, and that's the light blue wire. And the push-to-talk wire goes to pin 3, and that one's orange. You should be aware that there's no standard for the 13-pin DIN connector. Some rigs don't even have it. The Yaesu FT2000 here does not have the 13-pin DIN. In this case, you'd get your audio in and out on another connector on the rig. The Kenwood TS2000 does have a 13-pin DIN, however, the pinout's different than it is on the ICOM. The pinout can even vary among different models from a single manufacturer. For example, the TS450S has pin 12 connected to the modulator. I don't think the TS2000 even has a modulator. Before we begin, let's take a look at the schematic. Pin 2 is ground and goes to the ring of each connector. Pin 3 is push to talk. Pin 12 is audio out. And pin 11 is audio in.
Let's get started building our breakout box. So we'll use the 13-pin DIN with a pigtail that ICOM supplied with the IC7000. And for a box, I'm going to mount all this in an Altoids tin. Now, it's kind of small, so there's not room for the quarter-inch jacks that Bob had used, so I'll use these mini plugs instead. You can use whatever type of connectors you'd like. You might want to use two of the same for audio and a second type for the push-to-talk so you don't get them confused. But I'll use three mini plugs for all of this. First, we'll decide where we're going to mount our connectors, and I think I'll put them down the side here. And we'll run our cable in the end of it. Let's mark the spots on the box where we want to punch holes. Now, I could drill these out with a drill, but this is such thin material, I'm going to use my hole punch instead. Now we'll prepare our connectors by tinning each terminal. I had originally planned to use a grommet around this wire where it goes through the hole to keep it from cutting through the insulation. However, the grommet is going to be too big to fit in the box and the lid close at the same time. So instead, I'll put two or three layers of heat shrink tubing around the jacket of the cable to protect it. The ground terminals of the connectors are all common, so we'll tin a piece of wire and use that as a bus to connect them together. Now, with the aid of the solder buddy, we'll connect our wires to the tips of the connectors. The pink will be the input wire, the light blue will be the audio output wire, and the orange will be the push-to-talk. Now that looks great, doesn't it? But I forgot one important step. I needed to put the wire through the hole in the box first. That's what you do, but go back and remove them and do it again. This time we'll make sure that the wire is already through the hole before we begin. And you may notice the other bundle of wires that I'm not using. I put a piece of heat shrink tubing over the end of those to keep them from shorting out against the box. Now that we've got all the connections made, we can mount the jacks inside the box. To keep our cable from pulling out of the box, we'll put a tie wrap on the inside and tighten it down real tight. Everything fit together nicely. Now, to prevent the wire from twisting, we could take a little hot glue or other good glue and put on the inside here next to the cable to keep it from spinning. There's only one thing left to do, and that's to label the project so we know which cable goes in which connector. We're using mono mini jacks in this project, but you should be aware if you're using a three-conductor stereo plug like this, only the sleeve and the tip are connected. The ring is not used. So that means that there's only going to be audio coming out of one of the RCA cables at the end. On this particular cable, the tip is connected to the white. However, it might be different on other cables, so check it with your ohm meter. Now let's test our breakout box. As before, we can simply turn up the volume control on the rig to listen through the normal speaker. Now let's listen off our amplifier, which is connected to the breakout box. You'll notice that turning the volume control on the rig has no effect on the volume coming from the amplifier. When we're ready to talk, we can just hit the push-to-talk switch we've connected, and we're transmitting with the rig. Now, our hand mic is still connected, so if we want to use it, we just hit the push to talk, speak in the microphone, and then our audio comes from that source. So there you have it, the audio interface breakout
box.
All
right.
That was a lot of fun, Bob. I'm glad you brought that to my attention.
Well, Bob was spellbound. In fact, he fell right out of his chair when he found out that you forgot to put the wires in the box first. But anyway, I enjoyed it, and I know Bob was there as well. And George, that was great. In fact, Julian was taking notes, so it had to be good. So, Bob, have you regained your composure?
Well, I went to get a cable because there's a situation that came up this week, and I wanted to mention it, and I forgot the cable was laying out on the other side of the station lab here. But, George, that was really great, and I know it's going to help a lot of guys. There were many of them asking why the different ones. Well, different manufacturers do things differently. I wish they would standardize. I wish they'd forget about all these plugs together and use what we do in the broadcast industry, George, XLRs. I bet you agree with that, don't you? Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
But I have all three of them here. This is the little 13-pin DIN that you played with. Come on, camera, if we can get him to focus. And that's helpful. And it what's great about it is that, thank you, ICOM, they put wires so you don't have to solder it. And then you've got all kinds of others that have different pin configurations. And they all come with your radio. The problem is they come in a little plastic bag with a fuse, and we usually throw it away. Don't do that. You want to save all these because now comes the time that you want to hook up external things. That's where you hook them up. That's why they have data in, data out, which really is audio in, audio out. So that's really great. Now, there's one other little situation. George, you know we're going to take that box and hook it up to a powered speaker for the audio out, correct?
Yeah, that's what you'd normally do. I plug it into a mixer here that runs into my stereo. I've got a 100-watt stereo with subwoofer and everything on my ham rig here, so it really booms.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. We talked about the JBL. Incredible piece. If you don't have one of these, go buy one. Well, you can't buy one. You buy a pair of them. And the pair of them are just, it's amazing. It's got a tweeter. It's got a woofer, and you'll notice that other little hole, that is a bass reflex, and it's just an amazing box. It's got a pair of 35-watt amplifiers, and the 35-watt amplifiers are just absolutely distortion-free. They're near-field monitors. Okay, now, here's the problem. John King up at Oak Valley Radio Club, it's been our guest a couple times. He called me, says, hey, I built the box, and I got it all hooked up, and when I plug the JBL in, it hums. Well, that's because he has a ground loop. What is a ground loop? Here's the problem. It's real simple. When you hook up, now, we're talking only third pin. We're not talking about anything else. These are the signal wires with the shield. When you plug those into your box and into your mixer and all that, the chassis are grounded through the shield. Now, we have that third pin ground. When you plug it into the AC line and then the fuse box, it goes to ground. And you're thinking, well, that's all fine and good. Everything's grounded. Aha! If you take, for instance, here, and go this way to ground is longer than this path to ground. Aha. 60 cycle hum. And that gets into this whole thing of grounding. And we're going to cover this really well in a few weeks. We're going to have one of the experts on with us. But here's how you fix it. And I fixed it over the phone with John. I said, John, all you got to do is use one of these things. You know that thing? It's a ground lift. You want to get rid of the ground pin. Now, it's only on the JBL because the JBL is grounded through the shield, but it's grounded twice. It has two ways to get back to ground. This is the ground we're interested in eventually out at the fuse box. And this signal is shorter to ground than this signal. So what you want to do is break it. It's real simple. You just break that ground connection, and you don't want to break the pin off. Don't do that. You want to break that ground connection. When you do that, you now have only one path to ground. It goes through the shield, through, down, and to ground. And to do that, you simply have to lift that ground pin of that JBL amplifier. And you do that by taking this little guy right here. Oh, the chat room, I bet it's going to go nuts. They're going to tell me you're going to get electrocuted. No, you're not. Got news for you. You do this, and you plug this together, and now you don't have that return back to ground twice. And you're going to do that only with that JBL amplifier. And when you get that all going, here's what you come up with. You have one path to ground. It's very simple. But ground loops are tough because audio and RF are all different grounds. But we have a way around that. We're going to cover that in a few weeks. But I wanted to mention that, George, because I thought it was very important. Because I not only John, I had two other guys call me that tried to hook up an outboard amplifier, and they ended up with ground loops. So there you go. And I know you could also write a book on ground loops with your background in broadcasting, right?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in using transformers as well for isolation. But if you're going to use a transformer, you can't put all your connectors to ground here on a common box. You've got to float them so that they're not grounded together that way. Well, I've got something to give away, Bob. What do you say we give away our prize?
Yeah, let's do it.
This week's prize is a helping hand from cheapham.com, and you've seen me use these before as well as a solder buddy. It really makes it nice for keeping your fingers from getting burned. And this week's winner answered the question correctly, and Gordo gave us the question, what is Tim Allen's fictitious call sign on Last Man Standing? And our winner is John Kennedy, KD0JPE, and he said Tim Allen's call sign is KA0XTT. And congratulations, John, you win the helping hands. And for next week, we're going to give away a copy of Lee Tingler's The Artful Solderer. Lee Tingler's a guy who built the solder buddy. So we've got a copy of that. And to win that, I've got a question here for you. And I'm going to pose a problem if I can get these things out. Let's say you're stranded on a desert island and you've got a 100-watt HF rig and a 50-watt VHF rig, and your antennas are 100 feet away for both, and you've got two 100-foot pieces of cable. One is the smaller RG58. The other is a larger RG8. Now, which rig are you going to run which cable to? One's 100 watts HF, the other's 50 watts VHF. So send your answers to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll see who's next week's lucky winner is.
That's a great question, and we look forward to that answer. That'll be super. Yay. All right, and thanks to Cheap Ham for doing that. We also thank BSW this week. They sent Amanda a new mixer in, so we got her all fixed up with her audio, and all of us, I think, have got the Elise's mixers, and BSW furnishes a lot of the audio equipment here on Ham Nation, and we're happy that they do that, and you can get your JBL speaker system from them also. Gordo, you got anything pertinent that we need to cover before we get out of here? I think you do have one thing about what's going to happen next week, right?
Yeah, next week it is Tim Allen and his studio. Julian's going to be there. We're going to have a great time. And I guess you're taking some tour duty with some very special guests while we're working the studio. So the WIN system will be part of the big demonstration. So we look forward to seeing everybody next week on the Tim Allen Show. And I think if we have enough time, we may have just a quick little teaser for next week. Go ahead.
All right.
Well, copied loud and clear. Really appreciated that. Just took an opportunity to make sure we're getting all the way over to New Zealand. Glad you did check in, and I'm glad you've been on D-Star for at least 2 years. Stick around. We have the net at least on Wednesdays and Tuesday nights. Take a look, and you'll see that there's quite a bit of activity here in Southern California. So glad you can join us this evening on this special occasion. Let's go ahead and continue with check-ins. Are on the West Coast and international. So again, West Coast, let's do both zones 6 and 7. So look in your call sign, see if you have a 6 or a 7. Call signs, please.
N7ABN.
Okay, 1GR. There it is, the WB6NOA.
Ah.
Recognize for who he is.
And
I don't know who that Julian is.
That's his sidekick.
So you got Gordo.
Yep. And Rick Lowe.
Julian is N3JF, though. Supposedly.
Oh, should I check in?
Hang on a second.
Go ahead and say hi. Let Gordo talk and let Julian talk.
All right, let me a quick jump in there. We got quite a few check-ins, so let me see before I lose the list here. Let me acknowledge Julian. Let me also acknowledge N7AVN, K1GR Frank, WB6NOA, which will be right back to you, N6CY, Rick, I know that's you, W6HVH, K86BXT, WT6H, KF7TNN, and welcome on board. Let's quick go over to Gordo for a quick shout from Gordo. Good evening to you. I'm glad you joined us for this special occasion, Gordo. WB6NOA, KC6B.
And good evening to everyone on the Papa system and to those of you on the set of Last Man Standing. Thanks to John Amadeo and all of you for making ham radio so popular now on television. No further traffic. Good work, men and women. WB6NOA.
All right, Gordo, really appreciate it. And you keep up the good work as well. Hey, I'm in extra class because of your assistance and your book, so keep up the good work. Let's go to Julian. Julian, are you still with us?
Absolutely, and congratulations to everybody who made it in on the net, and to John Amadeo up there at the Studio City Studio. And it's great to have Ham Radio on Last Man Standing, and also have them, you know, John and the like section coming on Ham Nation, which is also awesome. So we look forward to doing more with them and seeing more people on the pub on that. So back to you, Nick Control, M3JF.
All right, Julian, really appreciate that. Let me take one more opportunity for one of the servicemen who's been serving our country well, N6CY.
Wow, that was a lot of fun. Well, now we're going to be live and direct at the studio next week, so we'll see everybody there. Back to you, Bob.
Well, sorry I won't be able to join you. I'm going to be in the back of another tour bus, but I got my screwdriver. I'm going to take my soldering iron and a whole bunch of microphones, of course. But we'll have fun. And I might be able to check in. I just don't know how the internet runs when we're out in some of these halls. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks. And looking forward to seeing next week's show. That's going to be great. So I think that's all for tonight. We had a wonderful time. It was really great to bring Jacob on here, and I just really enjoy speaking with him. He's really something. And thanks to Amanda and Cheryl and George. You were great. And one more time, happy birthday, man. That's an accomplishment to pass another year. So until next week, we'll see you on the bands. We're going to be on 7268 with Lynn and Mike and all the guys. So I hope we can hear you and work you there. If not, we'll see you throughout the week on good old amateur radio. And what can I tell you? There's nothing like this hobby. It's absolutely the best in the world. So 7-3, everybody. Thanks to Leo for the bandwidth. Lynn, Alex, you guys and gals are just the best in Petaluma. And we'll talk next time via ham radio or via the internet from good old Twit Network. This is K9EID Bob Heil, and we'll be talking soon. Bye-bye for now.